This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Headline of Neil Justin's story in the Trib today, how Conan O'Brien became late night royalty. Late night's most talented goofball gets ready for a new chapter. Neil is with us on the Shift Real Estate Hotline. He does an outstanding job laying out the daunting challenge that Conan faced when he was replacing David Letterman, peak David Letterman, when he was leaving NBC, headed to CBS, and nobody knew who Conan was, and he seemed like this awkward guy who was skilled but could he host a show, and he came into his own. NBC then promotes him to take over Leno. We know what happens there. It doesn't work as well. Leno wants his old gig back. They give Leno this 9 o'clock thing. We play Conan at the start of this show, morons, because NBC just butchered that so improbably poorly. He's been on TBS for a long time now, 11 years, but he's moving away. He's not vanishing. He's been doing a lot of creative things for a while, but he's moving now to HBO Max. Neil, what are we missing when we don't give credit to Conan and this almost 30-year run?
I think there's two things we miss, Chad, and good to hear your voice. I think, first of all, maybe the quickest wit, not only late-night television, but maybe in entertainment. Of course, a lot of late-night television in general, is scripted. But there also is a skill, especially in late-night, to be able to roll with the punches and come up with quick quips on the, you know, in a millisecond. And Conan does that better than anybody I can think of. I think that skill is especially apparent when he does his remotes, when he's on the road dealing with ordinary folks. His reaction and his reaction time is pretty amazing. I've had a chance to interview him a few times, and he's a quick-witted person as well. That's number one. I think the other thing that I've appreciated, especially over the last 5 years, is Conan's ability to be entertaining without political bashing. That is, of course, a big part of late-night television, reflecting the day's headlines. Conan shows more than any other, except maybe the early Letterman days, are kind of timeless because he's doing humor that isn't tied to the headlines. It's just a guy being goofy and doing obscure, sometimes irreverent humor. Triumph the Insult Comic Dog is going to be funny now, and it's going to be funny 30 years from now. Conan's ability to be goofy and his silly dances and over-the-top reactions are going to be funny 30 years from now. That's a lot harder to write, I think, than playing off what Donald Trump or Joe Biden did today. And my hat's off to him for doing that continuously for almost 30 years.
Well, as you write, you know, I think Smigel is brilliant in what Triumph became, and your version of a NC version of Rickles nails it. But finding Louis C.K., finding Bob Odenkirk, the role Andy Richter played, you know, I mean, I think that's a heck of an acknowledgement of some of the most talented people when they can identify people early And then you're not shocked because of the skill set, what they bring to the show, and what happens with these folks. I think that's another testament that O'Brien gets that maybe other people today who are his so-called peers, I don't know if they've achieved that level in the same manner.
Yeah, and, you know, credit goes to his producers, too. I'm sure they had a big say in the people they brought on. But I was thinking back to, there used to be a running skit on the old NBC show with Andy's sister in the audience. And the whole joke was that Andy's younger sister, she had braces and sometimes a neck brace, I think. Well, that sister was played by Amy Poehler. This is before Saturday Night Live, before she was on there. I was watching some old clips the other day, and Conan did a spoof on spelling bees and had a young, must have been a 12-year-old girl, playing a part of a spelling bee champ who actually can't spell. And that girl was Scarlett Johansson. So some of that is coincidence, but some of that is also an eye for people who have talent, especially in the case of Poehler. The same way David Letterman, you know, spotlighted Leno, but also Chris Elliott and some other people. Conan always had a great staff, people who played characters. I can't think of their names, but he had writers who could also do skits and characters like the masturbating bear. And there was you know, there was a pimp robot and just plain goofy and nutty.
Yes.
And not everything, you know, landed, but his batting percentage was pretty awesome. You know, his downfall, at least in the early days, was that the actual hosting he wasn't very good at. He was nervous as heck. His interviewing was painful to watch at times. Mm-hmm. He wasn't as photogenic as Johnny Carson and Jimmy Fallon and some others. But it shows what talent rises, and you could learn how to do interviews and deliver a monologue to a certain extent. That quick wit and that sort of irreverent creative mind that he has, that you can't learn. You either got it or you don't.
I want to get to a number of other items in the media. I want to start with one since we're talking politics. We obviously know and witnessed throughout the, well, it's still there with Donald Trump and this, at times, very helpful to Donald Trump relationship with the media. When you go back to 2015, 2016, and the extraordinary amount of coverage he received, and then the combative, the enemy of the state, and just separation between the two. And so the media seemingly was going to be on the hook with Joe Biden. Okay, more of a conventional politician. Right. Not a dazzling star of a Ronald Reagan, a Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, but more of a traditional person. And a lot of questions would be raised. Would the collective, and it's hard to say this because there's so many different levels of the media now, but would more of the traditional media, would they hold Biden accountable as much as they should? And how would we compare that to Trump? So we're about 6 months in. What's your view so far?
Well, I think more and more when we talk about the media, we have to separate into two categories. When most people think about the media, when I ask them, what do you mean by the media? They start talking about CNN and Fox and, to a certain extent, MSNBC. And that's fine. That's the way a lot of people get news. I wish they wouldn't rely that much on that league, but they do, and that's how people define media. In that case, there is less talk about the president. There's less combative talk about the presidency. Joe Biden is not as polarizing a figure. And talking about Trump, whether you liked him or didn't, dominated that group in the media. But in reality, that's a small part of the media. Local news, local radio, newspapers always had a different approach to covering the presidency, Trump's presidency, and Biden's presidency. So you almost have to separate the two. I think if you look at newspapers, for example, the difference isn't as stark as it is when you watch cable news, which relies much more on ratings and much more on argument, even war. If you look at newspapers, yes, there was a lot of criticism of Trump, but not nearly as much. And there's criticism of Biden, but you also get a mix of other stories. So I cringe a little bit when people describe the media and they're really only thinking of cable news, because that's a different department. And yes, in cable news, there is less presidential bashing or criticism. Biden doesn't put himself out there the way Trump did. But I think in the way most people get their news, whether they're listening to WCCO radio or NPR,
sure,
or reading the Star Tribune or watching,
yep,
the network news, which still draws a lot of eyeballs, the difference isn't nearly as stark. That's my take.
Give me two or three shows that you've watched this year that you really thought nailed it, that what they were trying to achieve, they pulled it off, whether it was the acting, it was the combination we all see. And then a couple shows coming up, maybe it's this summer, maybe it's this fall, that really intrigue you, whether, again, it's the acting, it's the background of the writing, the creativity. Where would you put some shows in those two categories?
Well, probably my favorite show of the year so far, and I think I plugged this on your show before, is a show on TBS called Chad. Her name escapes me right now, but she used to be on Saturday Night Live. Nassim is her first name. And that's a terrific show. One of those, she plays a 15-year-old Muslim kid trying to get through high school. And the kid's kind of a jerk, like most kids are. Watching this character go through the teenage years is the kind of uncomfortable humor that we mostly associate with British sitcoms. And I love that stuff. Really clever, really funny, and probably my favorite show of the year. I'm very excited to see the second season of Ted Lasso, to see if they can keep up the consistency of that show. That was a show I liked when it came out. And the more I thought about it, especially as the pandemic loomed on, the more I loved it. It was really the show we needed at that time. A character, for those who don't know, he's a football coach who goes to coach soccer in England. And he's the most optimistic, upbeat person
you
could imagine. And I think we needed that. It's rare in comedy that your protagonist is that upbeat. So I'm excited about the second season of that. A show that just started its second season that I think is worth taking a look at is a show called Intelligence. Nick Mohammed, who's on Ted Lasso, wrote it. It's with David Schwimmer, who is so good at it. You forget just what a great physical comic he was on Friends. And this really shows his range. He plays a completely different character from Ross. That's a really good show. You know, Peacock had some good stuff. Girls Five Ever is getting a lot of attention. The Tina Fey sort of girl group spoof. But there's another show on Peacock called We Are Lady Parts, which is also about a female music group. This group is Muslim in London, and I think it's really smart and really good. There's a lot of small shows like that on these streaming services,
sure,
that are really worth hunting around and taking a chance on.
Always enjoy it, sir. Got to fly. Let's do it more often. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, Chad. Take care. Bye-bye.
Neil Justin. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Neil Justin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.